My name is Roland. I'm down here in Studio B where live sessions are made possible by Sierra Nevada Brewing Company and the Honeycutters live today. Hey, folks.
Hello. Hi.
Yeah, welcome back.
Thank you.
Good to be back.
What's going on in Honeycutter land these days?
Well, everything wonderful. Chocolate and lollipops and
we're still giving away a free puppy at every show.
Yeah, free puppies. Now we got a couple shows coming up with the Isis this weekend, the Isis Theater in West Asheville. So we're kind of getting geared up for that.
Two nights.
Yeah.
Do you do that often? Like,
never have before.
So how does that change things? Like, you little special tricks for the second night, or
the second night is going to be costume night.
Is it really?
No.
You know, there is a purpose to it. We just want to seem like big shots, really.
Throwing our weight around.
Yeah, no, but we just thought, I don't know, it just seemed like a good idea, and that maybe it could make sense, because it's a little bit smaller than some other venues we've been doing okay at. So we thought we would see, can we pull off two nights here? And so we'll see, and I'm excited and feel good about it. And so it's, I think it's important to know, so Friday we're specifically catering it towards a mostly seated type of show. So there will be sort of a different vibe, and probably the sets that we come up with will be, you know, catered to that vibe, some of more of the listening room type of thing. And then Saturday night will be mostly standing. So if you want to see the Honeycutters get a little more raucous, probably Saturday night is the night that happens.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. And I guess you're working on a bunch of new songs too, so maybe in some new tunes.
Yeah, there'll definitely be some new tunes.
Cool. So the Honeycutters are live in Studio B, and I think we're going to get a taste of some of those. What is the new one you're starting us off with? Or?
Yeah. This is called Edge of the Frame.
A 1, 2.
All right, live music from Studio B here at WCW from the Honeycutters. And yeah, what's the song called?
Edge of the frame.
Is that like a brand new tune, or?
I don't know. I think I wrote it like maybe year and a half ago. But we just really started working up with the band like before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty new.
So a lot of kind of new things are going on. You got a new band, or partly a new band, and working on some new songs. Who's in the band with you today?
Well, we'll start with the newest members. We have Mr. Josh Milligan on the drums.
All right. Hi, Josh.
And Rick Cooper playing bass with us.
All right.
And then, as always, we have Tal Taylor on mandolin.
Hello.
This is Peter James playing guitar.
That's me.
I'm Amanda Ann Platt.
Yeah. So, and a bunch of new songs. You're working on a new record.
Hopefully.
You're working on it.
We're working on it.
Yeah. So what's the plans? Some things recorded so far? So you got a few things in the can? Or?
No, not really. We did some very rough demos, but just kind of, you know, on our own. But we're trying to do a fan-funded album, so we're kind of getting the bread together right now and hoping to maybe be at Echo Mountain Studio in Asheville in the summer months. If all that works out.
Yeah. So do you have like in your mind, you see like album covers and titles for records and things like that? Does that come at the very end?
I feel like that kind of happens like during the process. Cause usually we have a big pool of songs that we're narrowing down from. And, the past two album titles have been, you know, songs on the record.
Right.
And, I think, you know, probably like to do that again. And so until we really know exactly what the songs are going to be, it's hard to pick a title. And before you know the title, it's hard to pick a cover. So it all sort of grows together, I guess.
So is this a good problem to have too many songs?
Well, not for me. I kind of wish I wrote less songs.
We do in a way, you know, yeah, it's like, I guess either way could have its difficulties. The difficulty with Amanda writing as many songs as she does, honestly, is she'll go through a phase, it seems like, of writing a bunch that's like, oh yeah, there's a gel amongst these ones, and these are gonna flow, and then there's that old one that will fit into, like, here's a slow one, will fit. And then, like, right before we go to make a record, she'll write another 8, like, before we're going into the studio. Or something, like they'll just all of a sudden, like within the last few months before getting up there, she'll write a bunch too. And so it honestly gets kind of hard. I guess it is a good problem to have, but it is a problem to be like, which ones are we going to record now? Which ones do we really love that are just going to get still put back and just sit in a notebook for who knows how much longer?
So like coherence within a body of work is kind of part of the consideration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I get very defensive because they're like my children, you know? So
yeah, sure.
If Pete's like, no, I don't think we should do this one on the record, I'm like, what do you mean we shouldn't do that on the record? What's wrong with you, Pete?
Yeah.
It's a great song.
Cool. And so you mentioned you're doing this Kickstarter thing. It's going pretty well, it sounds like, from looking at your website.
It is going well. We have a long way to go still need a lot of help, but we're doing good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So and that's a phenomenon. It's, to me, is really neat, you know, like the old record company kicks you money. No, let's ask people, to help us. And it works for a lot of folks. I mean,
mm-hmm. Yeah, it worked for our last record. Yeah. And there's definitely a special feel to, I mean, for us at least, I think recording our last record and having that be fan-funded was like it's very special to kind of have that, you know, you really feel like you're giving something back. You really feel like people have said in a big way, like, we want to hear more from you, like, you know, so that's why we're trying it again with the fan funding. And it is different. It's, you know, I respect you guys for doing your fundraisers here at WNCW.
I was going to say there is a little correlation, you know, but one thing that happens is people, I will give the radio station some of my money, which is so generous, but then people like sort of feel like they own the radio station. So do you ever get like fans coming back and going, yo, I don't like track 3 on your record that I helped to fund? Ever come up?
I think they know enough not to dare to say that in my presence.
Oh,
they,
yeah.
They better tell me it's the most amazing thing they've ever heard, period. No, that hasn't happened. Not to me. Has it happened to you? No.
No, I don't think so.
You know what, though? What I would say on that note is that I would like to think that they do have some kind of feeling of joint ownership over the project as a whole. Certainly, obviously, these are all Amanda's songs. I think it's important that people know sometimes if there's new listeners to the band. And even sometimes we'll see a write-up every now and then, it'll be like, and it'll say co-writing, Peter and James, it'll say this co-writing thing, and it's like, I want everybody to know, like, Amanda writes every bit of all this. This is totally, you know what I mean? And I want them to know that for her props, like, totally. Like, she writes every single lyric, she brings the chords, it's a song. We just add stuff to it. So, In that sense, that's, you know, they can't have ownership over that. But as far as, like, yeah, making a project work, like a full CD, and, like, yeah, it's totally a family thing that's, like, I want them to feel that way.
Yeah. And there is also, maybe we should mention, there's a, one of the things that we're offering, you know, as, like, a pledge drive reward is the chance to play tambourine on the album itself. So I don't know. They can check that out.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff at the website. What your web address is?
Thehoneycutters.com.
Thehoneycutters.com.
And there's a link to the Kickstarter on the main page of our website.
And there's a link to that website from our website today at wcw.org.
Excellent.
And there's a video. Let's get a song. Maybe we'll talk about the video. There's a little video up there, too. Let's get a song next. New song, old song? What do you got?
Yeah, this is another new one. This is a song that I wrote for a friend of mine when she got married a couple years ago.
And a 1, 2, 3.
When you found me, I was broken, clear in two, and my split wide open, tired of hoping, tired of playing the fool. You did what I thought nobody could do. Yeah, you pieced me back together, kissed the hurting parts, and made me new. Now you ask for nothing more than to be by my. You say it like you say it, and your smile makes it easy to blend. Oh, I know I've never been the lucky kind. Yeah, but when you're with me, honey, it's like money, like I'm throwing loaded dice. And I don't care, because there's only just one place that I call home. It's my home because you're there. Oh my darling, oh my darling, you're so sweet. No, it really just ain't fair. You're my t-shirt, you're my blue jeans, you're cold beer, you're my favorite easy chair.
All right, the Honeycutters playing live today in Studio B, WCW. Cool. What's it, and that song is called?
I think it's just called Wedding Song.
You don't know what that song's called?
I think it's called Wedding Song. Pretty sure it's called Wedding Song.
Very nice. So Amanda Ann Platt is the lead vocalist here today, songwriter and stuff. Yeah, awesome. You guys, like you're moving up, huh? Like, this is more and more of a buzz about the band. You feel that?
There's a buzz about the Honey Cutter.
You just keep saying that. Something's going to happen.
Yeah, right, exactly. If enough people say it, there will be a buzz. I don't know. Some days it feels, you know, some days like I wake up and like, you know, we've sold a bunch of CDs online. We have like, you know, 40 new likes on our Facebook page. And then, you know, you go a few weeks, a few months, and nothing really happens. And it feels like people are ignoring you, and you're like, oh, I'm a failure, you know? So it's just peaks and valleys.
Yeah. The music business is so like that. It's so this thing that you have to learn. You have to learn to ride this thing out and never assuming anything and always just being grateful for exactly what it is, because it's so easy to be on one of these two places. A, wow, we really got something going. Or B, man, when's the last time something exciting happened?
Uh-huh.
You know, because you do this, it's addictive nature of craving, like, you know, like you do something like Merlefest, you play Merlefest. After that, you're like, can we do this every day? Can we play a Merlefest every day somewhere?
Right.
No, you can't.
You guys had a great Merlefest, though. Like, you were the band, everyone was following around, or one of the bands.
It felt good.
We
it
had
felt,
a good time.
Yeah. Again, just saying thank you for it and not assuming anything.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, because it's like, yeah. As soon as you start assuming things, that's when it's like, oh, never mind.
Yeah.
So, like, with the record coming up, though, are there plans to kind of shop it around, or are you just going to do it yourselves, or have you gotten that far?
I think right now the plan is just to go ahead and do it ourselves, unless there's, you know, some record exec right now listening with a fat wallet that wants to call into the studio.
Yeah.
But it, you know, the airplay is growing. I mean, you're getting played across the country. You're touring and stuff. Is it harder now to like to go make a record? Is there more pressure on you because like suddenly there are more ears on it?
That'll be interesting because, you know, we're certainly in a very different place now than we were when Bitter Met Sweet. I think from a songwriting perspective, you know, something that I have dealt with and continue to deal with, although I feel like I've kind of gotten over it a little bit, is just that feeling of like, is this enough like the other things I've written that people are still going to like it? And, you know, it's like as soon as you start thinking like that, at least for me, like that's when I'm just like, I can't write anything. Then I'm like, oh my God. No, like, because you're always growing and there's always different things happening. So if you write the same song over and over, I don't know, you get Nashville.
That must happen to a lot of bands, though. Like, you can see it in their discography. Like, suddenly they do a record that's totally different. And you can just see, almost see the wheels turning, like, I got to break out of that same mold. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think that's more the only, I don't feel any, at the moment I don't anyway, I don't feel any particular pressure of like, oh, we have to make a great record because something's, you know, I'm like, oh, there's some buzz or something now, so now it means more, like, to make sure the record is good, so, like, buzz keeps going, and whatever that means is going to happen for us as far as having successful careers with this band. But I think the pressure always is, how do we represent on record as close as we can to what we are live, keeping in mind that it's two different animals, a live show and being in a studio with headphones on and making a record. You can't necessarily just throw a mic on everything like you do on stage at a live show and think that that's going to make a great record. It just doesn't. Sonically, different things happen in there.
Sure.
And you have to consider, like, maybe we are going to add a second acoustic guitar track to fill in this space that normally is filled out in a live room that sounds bigger, different. So I'm more, the pressure more is, A, how do we represent really, like, when you come to a show, it's like, yeah, that's what they sounded like online when I listened to whatever their tracks online, and B, that you do hear growth, that's like, yeah, the band is growing. It's like that first song we played, it's got a little bit more of a, like, a little bit of pop catchy, there's a little bit of pop catchy flair that's coming in there that Amanda has on some of her newer stuff that's not so much on Irene, our first record, really, at all. None of that stuff is there. There's a lot more backbeat kind of stuff on Bitter Met Sweet, so, like, I want to show the growth. And I want to sound like we sound live, too. That's the pressure for me, period. I don't really think about anything else.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's how I'm supposed to think of it, too, is generally being the producer, me and Amanda produce together, basically. But as far as sonically, I'm the one who spends the most time there with the engineers of, like, dialing in drum tones and all the different stuff. And, like, that's what's on my mind.
He knows what sounds good.
Or I know what sounds bad, maybe.
Maybe, oh, yeah.
Maybe it's that.
Yeah.
Like, that sounds bad. Make it good.
Amanda Ann Platt and Peter James are sort of the ringleaders of this. Peter, I've always loved your guitar playing. I was telling someone that you're
Thanks.
The guy who dodges cliches. Like, every time I go, oh, he's going to finish out the run with this note, you don't put that note there. So,
thank you so much, man.
Very tasteful. I always love your playing.
Thank you.
The Honeycutters live in Studio B. They're playing this weekend two shows at the Isis Music Hall up in Asheville Friday night. It's kind of a sit-down listening kind of thing, and Saturday night, rowdy and kick your heels up and all that stuff. Yes. What time do those shows get started? Do you know?
I think it's 9 p.m. both nights, and Friday night, our good friend Rory Carroll is going to be opening the show, and Saturday night, Moses Atwood is going to be opening. Yeah, so nice. we've got some buddies.
Who's also a good friend. I don't know why you skipped good friend on his intro.
He's listening, too.
Sorry, Moses.
All right, live music from Studio B, The Honeycutters. What's your next song?
This one, we've been playing for a while, and I think that Pete and I did it as a duo song last time we were in Studio B, but we've worked it up with the band, and so this is called Oh Me, Oh My. But the good Lord took her. She was an angel, but her wings were crooked. I guess he figured he could love her better than me. Now preacher's talking about the bed I made. He says I'm too old to be chasing trains. He says I gotta lay it down and let it be.
North Carolina's very own The Honeycutters playing live in Studio B.
Yeah, it was a little different last time.
Yeah.
the it's not a duo song anymore, is it?
That's how they grow.
Cool. So the Honeycutters are playing here in advance of their shows this weekend, Friday and Saturday night at the Isis Restaurant and Music Hall up in Asheville. And then I've written down, too, Thursday the 30th, you're going over at the U.S. National Wetware Center in Charlotte.
Yes, yes. You know, I'm so small-minded, I always forget the WNCW goes to Charlotte
we reach
as well.
To Charlotte,
yeah.
So.
Yeah, the 30th we'll be over there.
So. Yeah. Do you go kayaking before your first set? Or?
God help me if I do. I don't know. I'll probably drown.
And again, a new record in the works. Sometime this summer, you're thinking, hoping?
Well, working on it, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, if we make this Kickstarter goal, we're shooting for like a March 2014 release.
Okay. So, nice. There's a video at your website. Talk about the video. Are you going to shoot me dirty looks?
It certainly is. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of like, so I don't know how many people out there listening have done like one of these like Kickstarter, you know, there's a whole bunch of them now, but something that Kickstarter says is they're like, you know, projects with videos are a lot more successful. And last one we did, I think we posted it without a video, and then I ended up making a video kind of last minute, which was me like sitting in front of my computer at like 3 a.m, and I was like, we really need your help, guys. And then I played a song that I had written for the Kickstarter, which I have since forgotten, unfortunately. But, so that was our video. And, you know, we made the goal, but we felt like this year we could do better. So, I don't know. We kind of threw a bunch of ideas.
We should
the
say
wall.
Thank you to Jesse Hamm. So
yeah, Jesse Hamm did our video for us. He's incredible. And yeah, we just sort of came up with this concept. Cause like one day Pete and I were sitting there talking. We're like, well, what would we do if we didn't do a Kickstarter? You know, and like, so we sort of started playing with that idea of just like, well, maybe we could just make a really ridiculous video about us trying to get money in other ways. And we shot like 2 hours of footage or something like that. And a lot of it, like the audio didn't work. And so we kind of just smushed it together last minute. But it's just us trying to get money. That's the story of it.
I'll quote from your own website. It's a silly video.
It is a little bit silly.
But anyhow, yeah, it all ties in with this thing we're talking about, the Kickstarter and trying to get the funds together to put out this new record. So sounds like you got the songs coming along anyhow.
Yeah, we definitely have, you know, 11 or 12 songs. Maybe we should just do like a double. I'll tell you what, if we make...
Four CD set?
Right, if we make double our Kickstarter goal, we'll make a double CD.
A Honeycutters box set.
Pete is grimacing.
You just said that.
I did just say that.
Okay, we're held to it now.
It's okay. No one's listening. WNCW.
No, you made Dennis mad.
Yeah, you really.
Oh. I'm sorry, Claire.
Once again, you can see this crowd two times this weekend at the Isis Music Hall up in Asheville, Friday night and Saturday night. Again, and the Friday night kind of a listening sit-down thing, and Saturday night, rowdy.
Yeah, we're going to get a little rowdy. Like it's going to get a little messy in there.
We won't talk like we're trying to here. We're definitely better at playing music than answering questions into a microphone. Well, I promise.
With that segue, what's your next song?
Exactly.
This is actually, this is a song off of our first record, Irene, that has just sort of turned into a different beast than the one we recorded. Thank you.
much more beautiful than me would love you madly. Cody, oh Cody, I seen what you do, seen the tramps and the outlaws, how they answer to you. With three strings on your fiddle, 13 stitches in your boots, you ain't mine.
Very nice, the Honeycutters. playing live at CW today. Ah, kind of expanding the sound of the band on that one. Cool. Again, these folks are playing this weekend two shows at the Isis Music Hall in Nashville Friday night and Saturday night. You can also catch them on May 30th at the U.S. National Whitewater Center in Charlotte. And I'm sure more shows off in the future, too.
Yeah, we're going to be all over the country this summer. So
nice. Well, have fun.
Thanks so much for having us again.
Always. Yeah. Yeah, always love the sound. Old band. Thanks, everyone,
thanks
for coming.
Thanks, everybody.
And have fun this weekend, you guys. What do I need to let you know? Live Studio B sessions on WNCW are made possible by Sierra Nevada Brewing Company. Again, a big thanks to the Honeycutters.